When Scripture talks about the kingship of Jesus, it sometimes indicates that Jesus' kingship isn't precisely the same as the Father's kingship. In general terms, we can say that the Father is presented as a great suzerain or emperor, and Jesus is presented as the Father's vassal or servant king. But if Jesus is God, how can he be a vassal? In what sense is Jesus God's vassal king?
Jesus' kingship needs to be understood in light of the ancient Davidic kingship, because Jesus is the ideal David. He is HaMashiach, the Messiah. And of course, in the Old Testament, the Davidic kingship is patterned after something that we see in the ancient Near Eastern world, so-called suzerain-vassal relationship, where the suzerain, the king, rules over his subjects, usually by treaty. And David is God's chosen ruler over the world. And so there's a sense in which God chose David to be his vice regent, to rule on his behalf. And of course, Jesus is the one who ultimately fulfills that. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus is described as the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Jesus has been granted kingship over the rulers of the earth by God. Of course, this goes back to Psalm 2, which is a very famous psalm that's cited quite often in the New Testament. And in Psalm 2, the nations are raging and complaining, and they want to get out from beneath the authority of God and his chosen king. But then the king says, "I will tell you what the Lord decreed. He said to me, 'You are my son. This very day I have become your father.'" And the background for this language is this ancient Near Eastern relationship where a king would adopt one that he had chosen to rule on his behalf. The Lord himself says in verse 6, just before this, "I myself have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill, Jerusalem." So the Davidic king was chosen by God to rule. And we read on in verse 8, "You have only to ask me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth as your personal property. You will break them with an iron scepter. You will smash them as if they were a potter's jar." And then the kings of the earth are urged to do what is wise and submit to correction and serve the Lord in fear and repent in terror and give sincere homage. Otherwise, God will be angry, and their destiny is not a pretty one if they have to deal with God's anger. So we see that Jesus is this king in Revelation 1:5, and the background for that is Psalm 2, where God has chosen the Davidic king to rule on his behalf. And all of this is patterned after what we see in the ancient Near East.
The language of vassal king, as opposed to suzerain king, speaks about delegated authority. And Jesus's great David's greater son was of that line of kingship. And even as David had his authority as king delegated from the Father, so too Jesus did as well, God being the one with all authority. In fact, he is the one of whom Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," and therefore sends his disciples in the Father's name to make disciples of all nations.
Normally, when we think about the kingship of Christ, we think of that as something very exalted, high up there. And because Jesus is now at the right hand of God the Father, and he is the King. But we must remember that Jesus was exalted in his kingship in his human nature. That's to say, in his divine nature, Jesus was always the King. He was always ruling as the sovereign over all things. But Jesus was given authority in heaven and earth in his human nature. And Jesus is the Son of David, and therefore the one who represents the nation of Israel and the people of God. And the Son of David, like David himself, was a vassal king. He was a servant of the greater king, God the Father, in heaven.